Betsy Gomez realized she'd been looking for fulfillment in the wrong places.
When you grow up in church, sometimes you think that you're okay. That even though you have problems in your life or in your marriage, it's okay. But for the first time in my life, I could see that I was full of pride. My life was a very sinful life. I was focused just on myself. And I was not taking care of my husband. I was not taking care of my son.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth, co-author of Seeking Him. For Memorial Day, May 29th, 2023, I'm Dana Gresh. Last week, Nancy began a series called Satisfying Our Thirst. We saw how women today are like the woman at the well that Jesus encountered in John chapter 4. A lot of women carry a bondage of guilt.
For years, the words that went around in my head were, you did it, you hid it, you will never be rid of it.
Some women can search for satisfaction in fame and popularity.
So I started doing all these commercials and modeling and very successful, moved to New York. I was at the top of my game. I still didn't feel good about myself.
Others are searching to be satisfied by success in their careers.
I wanted to work full-time in ministry one day in my life.
We'll hear more of that story later in the program. But first, let's join Nancy where we left off in our teaching series, Satisfying Our Thirst. She's sharing some of the messages women have written to her about ways they've looked for satisfaction.
One woman said, I've been seeking fulfillment in areas other than Christ. Men, food, shopping, friends, anything except Jesus Christ. Another woman said, because my needs have not always been met by my husband. And by the way, there is no husband who can meet all the needs of a wife. If you want your husband to really be drawn to you, one of the things you may need to do is go home and set him free from the prison of your expectations. When men sense that their wife is trying to make them a prisoner of what she thinks a good husband is, invariably the nature of that man is to bolt, is to resist that kind of imprisonment and to release your husband from those expectations of being God in your life will not only set you free, it will set him and your marriage free. But this woman said, because my needs have not always been met by my husband, I have tried to meet my needs at the well of work. I've often sought fulfillment in the workplace. Another woman said, I've placed unreasonable expectations on my husband and children to provide for my peace and my happiness. Now, we've been seeing this week that when we forsake God as our fountain of living waters, oh, we're not conscious that we've forsaken him. We don't consciously say, I forsake you, oh God. But when we fail to look to him to meet the deepest needs of our hearts, and then when we turn to other things and people to supply what God intended to supply for us, what are we guilty of? Idolatry. We've replaced God. We've come up with cheap substitutes for God in our lives. Yes, we're all thirsty, but the problem is that we've tried to satisfy our thirst in all the wrong places. Now, I want us to look over these next few days at God's provision, to see that God has made a provision for us, just as he made a provision for that woman who came to Jesus at the well thousands of years ago. She came looking for water, and Jesus said to her in John chapter 4, verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for water, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see, God has a provision for my thirst. He created the thirst. He made us in such a way that we are not filled without him. We are empty without him. And he wants that thirst to drive us to himself as the provision. Now, it's encouraging to me to know as I read God's word that God wants to satisfy my thirst and my deepest longings. They will not all be satisfied this side of heaven. That's important to remember. But God does want to satisfy my thirst and my deepest longings. There's so many references to this in the scriptures, particularly in the Psalms. I think of the passage in Psalms that says, God satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. And then another place in the Psalms, the people asked, and God brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. And then God says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. I would feed you with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. Why do we settle for cheap substitutes when God wants to fill us with something that really does satisfy? God wants to satisfy our thirsts and our deepest longings. And then here's the truth that I think is so liberating, and that is that Jesus Christ himself is the water that truly satisfies. Not only does he give us living water, but he himself is God's provision for my thirst. It's not that he gives us something new, some greater spiritual experience, some great key to the Christian life. He is our life. He is the water. He is the one who truly satisfies. Now, you may not think that sounds very profound, but for me, this is a life-giving, life-changing truth. When I start to realize that Christ is my life, that if I want to have life, I find it in him. Jesus said to the woman at the well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. That's the water in this well. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. He is that water. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who's speaking to you, you would ask him and he would give you himself. I who speak to you, I am. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I'm God. I am the living water. There is only one well that truly, lastingly satisfies. Only one. God has made us so that we will never be satisfied with anything less or anything other than God's provision, and that provision is Jesus Christ. Now, John Piper speaks of this matter of a spring that satisfies, and he says a spring satisfies thirst not by removing the need you have for water, but by being there to give you water whenever you get thirsty, again and again and again. So Jesus isn't saying here, if you come to me and you have a relationship with me, that you'll never have any more longings again. But he's saying there will always be in your life the source of supply for those longings to be met. There will always be that well of water in you that's enough, that will enable you to be satisfied regardless of what circumstances you're facing in your life, regardless of what friends you have or don't have, regardless of the lonely moments or the dark moments or the difficult moments. He's saying that within you there will always be this well, a source of life, and it's Jesus Christ who himself is that living water. I spoke some years ago on the woman at the well at a conference in a Midwestern state on a Friday night. The next morning, a woman came up to me and she said, early this morning, after hearing your message last night, I wrote a song. She handed me the piece of paper on which she had written these words. I looked at the words and I could tell immediately that this was not just a song about my message. It was not just a song about the woman at the well, but that the words June had written were her story, that she was that woman at the well. I put her on the spot that morning in front of several hundred women, and I said, June, would you be willing to sing this song for us right here in this conference? She did. She was willing. And she got up and sang with no accompaniment, just as you're going to hear it now, the song that she had written, Come See a Man. For you see, the invitation is not to something. The invitation is to come and see someone. That's what the woman at the well said to the people of Samaria when she went back into town. Come see a man. It's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one who lastingly satisfies. The woman at the well found acceptance and fullness in a man, Christ Jesus. And that's exactly where June found that fulfillment and that acceptance, as you're going to hear from her right now.
For most of my life, I felt like a woman a woman of ill repute, for the things that I've done and what was done to me, I felt I was of no use. Like the woman at the well who spoke to Jesus, alone looking for a drink, I'd been looking for love in all the wrong places, helpless, needy, and weak. But now that I know Jesus, to the world I will proclaim these words of invitation. I will forever lift up his name, and I will sing, come see a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. Come see a man who won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. Come see a man who gives life eternal, who's the bread of life, living water for your thirst. Come see a man who gives new beginnings, who gives second chances, who gives new birth. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And if you feel the same way, believing there is nowhere to go, you too can come to Jesus, where the living waters flow. He loves you, this I know, and you can sing, I know a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. I know a man who won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. I know a man who gives life eternal, who's the bread of life, living water for your thirst. I know a man who gives new beginnings, who gives second chances, who gives new birth. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Then we can sing it together as a body of one. We can tell the world about Jesus, Jesus Christ, God's risen Son. And we all can sing, come see a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. Come see a man who won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. Come see a man who gives life eternal, who's the bread of life, living water for your thirst. Come see a man who gives new beginnings, who gives second chances, who gives new
As I listened to June sing that song, I realized that here was a woman who had her own story. Sometime after the conference, I called her and I said, June, could you tell me a little bit more about your story? She was happy to do that and to give me permission to share it with others. She told me about how she'd grown up in the home of an alcoholic, abusive father, and a father who sexually molested her for some period of time when she was a child. She then told how she had entered into a season of life trying to get that thirst satisfied and ending up in many addictive and immoral relationships, looking for love, as she said, in all the wrong places. But then came the day when she came and saw a man. His name is Jesus. And she found a man who knew all about her, but loved her unconditionally, was willing to restore her, to renew her, to give her a new life. It was interesting that she shared with me that she had to come to the place where she realized that she was a sinner who needed God's forgiveness, not just because of what had been done to her. And she had to work through issues of forgiveness with her dad and others. But she said she realized that her heart had been filled with poisonous, venomous anger and hatred, and that she was a sinner in need of this living water. That she had looked to wells other than Christ to satisfy the deepest needs and longings of her heart. And that was when she got to Christ and began to let him fill up the empty places of her heart, that a well of water began to spring up within her. You know what she's doing today? She's involved in ministering to women in prison. Women who come, many of them from backgrounds similar to her own. And the well of water that God has caused to spring up within her is now a well of water giving life to others. She said, I thank God now for the hurt, for the pain, for the longing, because through it I have found a man, Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for the power and the love and the mercy and the fullness that we find in Christ. Thank you for second chances and third and fourth and fifth. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for knowing all about us and still offering us that living water. And thank you that you are God's provision for our sin, for our emptiness, for our need. And so, Lord Jesus, we look to you and we are filled. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Wow. June's song is so powerful. And so is the truth from God's word that Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been sharing with us. This teaching series is called Satisfying Our Thirst. You can hear the whole series by visiting reviveourhearts.com or check it out on the Revive Our Hearts app. And maybe you could take the time to share it with someone you know who could use it. You'll find a link to the podcast version of the program at reviveourhearts.com. It's also available on YouTube. Now, something has come up a few times during this series. We can be tempted to look for success in our jobs as a source of satisfaction. But like all other empty wells we've looked at, the well of professional success doesn't provide the living water we need. It could be a good thing, but it doesn't fill our hearts. Betsy Gomez went through a process of finding this out. She grew up in church, but all the women who were admired there had gained success in careers.
I didn't have like this caring example of like a mom at home. I just grew up looking at women that they left even their homes and family to dedicate themselves for, like, to ministry. And that was my dream. I wanted to work full-time in ministry one day in my life. And then I went to college, I graduated from marketing, and then I made a master in communications, and I thought everything was okay, and I didn't need it, that example or this role model that teach me like how to be a wife or a good mother. I thought that I learned everything I had to. I got married very young. with the idea that everything was going to be perfect, that I didn't need to have a role model, or I didn't need anybody to tell me how to be a mom or a good wife. So everything, I think I didn't realize I had like a problem during our first years. And then I got pregnant. So when I got pregnant, I started thinking that it was going to be a big challenge for me. Like being a mom and also being a full-time worker.
Even though she knew it would be challenging, Betsy hurried back to the workforce. In her community, it was just assumed that being a professional woman was a higher priority than investing in children.
In my country, we have a 3 months maternity leave, but my job needed me in 2 months, so I had to leave my house and I had to go to my job earlier than I was supposed to. And when I did that, I thought it was okay because I need to maintain my job and I needed to be responsible with my projects. And I was not realizing about my most important project that I just released. It was my baby. I just wanted to follow the example I saw in my mom of a hardworking mom. And that situation forced my husband to be more time at home. Since he had a more flexible work, he worked as a consultant and he could choose like his schedule. He used to spend more time with my little boy.
I thought that if I help in my house, I help with our marriage.
This is Betsy's husband, Moses. He had a God-given desire to serve his family, but he also knew that God had called him to lead his family and provide for his family as well.
But we knew behind of that situation, something wasn't working okay.
Because of her work schedule, Betsy had very little time to spend with her son.
I had the opportunity to be with him like in weekends because I got home very late at night or in the evening and I was really tired. And I was thinking about myself. I was not thinking about my baby. And the worst part is that I wanted everybody to think that I was a perfect mom. And I used to do everything that I could to let people think that everything was okay. In my heart, I started feeling like I knew something was wrong. One day, I remember, I was very late at my work, and I felt like I don't belong here. It was like, in that moment, I felt that that was the worst place for me to be in that moment. And I thought, like, why? Like, if I can't be here, where? Where? And I thought, ministry, I have to be working in ministry full time. Well, I felt like so anxious and stressed for a week. And my heart, like, I felt like I was doing something wrong.
Betsy's worries increased one day when she arrived home, saw her son, reached her arms out, and watched him run away toward his dad. He treated Betsy like a stranger.
When I got home, my son rejected me at all because we didn't have like the opportunity to spend time together, like to bond.
When I saw him rejecting her, then I started to be concerned because he said, this is not a normal situation because everybody told us that boys prefer moms.
Betsy got some important perspective on her situation one night when she couldn't sleep. Moses had attended a Desiring God conference in the U.S., and there he heard about Revive Our Hearts and told Betsy about it.
I listened on the internet to a message that Nancy gave on a True Woman conference, and it's called What is a True Woman? When I kept on listening what she was telling, I realized that I was so far away of what God had intended for me as a woman. I remember her telling about the responsibilities of a woman at her house with her husband, with her children.
And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled.
The thing that impacted me the most was the way she taught that it was sin, like you were sinning. When you don't accomplish God's design for your life, you are telling him, I don't want to live according to your design of what you had intended for me. That teaching helped me to understand that I had to live according God's priorities and not according a sinful way, you know. When I started listening to these teachings of Nancy, like, I felt so confronted. For the first time in my life, I could see myself as a sinner. When you grow up in church, sometimes you think that you're okay. That even though you have problems in your life or in your marriage, it's okay. But for the first time in my life, I could see that I was full of pride. My life was a very sinful life. I was focused just on myself. And I was not taking care of my husband. I was not taking care of my son. That night, I cried for hours because I couldn't imagine that I was a sinner woman and my priorities was very, very mixed. Like, they were not in the right place.
Betsy realized that her priorities were out of order. She was a talented marketing professional, but for this season of life, she'd been called to a very important role. She decided to quit her job so she could devote her energy and talent to raising the next generation. Immediately, fear set in. What would her family think? Was she wasting all the effort she spent in getting her master's degree?
But then I was convicted that my first ministry and my first responsibility in this world is to take care of my family and to be a support for my husband. When I took the decision about quitting my job, I thought it was going to be easy. And when I actually quit my job, I looked at myself and I said, okay, what I am going to do now? How can I start? And I think God started to break so many things in my life and wrong patterns that I learned. And God started to change my heart, putting in me the desire of doing what I had to do. I've never had the desire before of like cleaning my house or doing the laundry by myself. And God surrounded me with a bunch of girls and friends that helped me. And at the first, like in the beginning, I was like kind of embarrassed. Like I didn't want them to teach me because I wanted to figure it out myself. But then God helped me to be humble and accept, you know. And I remember in one of the Revive Hearts radio shows, I remember that Nancy was telling him, you don't have to be shy of asking for help, you know? And also, I had this great desire in my heart to teach my son the Word of God. So I asked for some materials, and it's been amazing.
Betsy continued to learn how to embrace serving her family. She learned many practical things that she was never taught while growing up, like how to cook or how to organize a home. But far more importantly, She was learning to have a heart for serving others. In this process, God used a teaching series from Revive Our Hearts. Betsy went to reviveourhearts.com and found archives of the series, The Countercultural Woman, a fresh look at Proverbs 31. This teaching series had a big effect on Betsy.
I think it was perfect for me because it helped me to put everything in place. And that series helped me day by day to understand the purpose of God for me as a woman, as a wife, as a mom. I remember that she said, if you're married, I think it would be a good idea to listen to this radio show with your husband. So I called my husband and I said, okay, we have a date. At noon, we have to listen to this radio program. So he said, okay. My husband and I, we listened to that radio series. And it was amazing how this was impacting not just me, but also my husband, because he stepped up like as the full provider of our house, of our home. And that released me of any sense of guilt of leaving my job. So I quit my job. It was very funny because I kept on explaining my boss the reasons I was going to quit my job, and nobody understood in the office, like, Betsy, you're making the worst decision in your life.
After quitting her marketing job and focusing on her job as a wife and a mom, Betsy needed support. God brought Laura Gonzalez into her life. Laura was instrumental in translating Revive Our Hearts into Spanish, and she currently directs Aviva Nuestros Corazones, the Spanish arm of Revive Our Hearts. Laura gave Betsy a copy of the workbook, Seeking Him. Nancy DeMoss Wagemuth and Tim Grissom wrote it to show readers how to walk through a process of personal revival. Betsy committed to going through the workbook and meeting with a small group to discuss it.
So my husband and I, we went to this study together, and it was amazing. I think that was like the best moment in years because we could see each other as we really were. And we started confessing a lot of things that we didn't know about each other. It was perfect in that moment because it was a new start for us, being honest with ourselves and having a clean conscience. Sometimes we thought that what happened in the past is in the past, and you don't have to touch that. You just have to move on from where you are. Being transparent and honest with each other helped us in so many ways to understand how sin was stopping us to grow, you know, and how our relationship could grow knowing each other just the way we are. So I think that confession was primary for the revival in our home. And honestly, there were moments I wanted to close the book and I didn't want to continue. But then the Holy Spirit helped us to move on and not being ashamed of our sin, because that is why Christ came, you know, to make us free of our sin. We had a lot of pride in our hearts and we didn't realize we had it.
Wow, Seeking Him, amazing tool for Revival Heart Ministry.
Again, this is Betsy's husband, Moses.
I need God. I need His grace. I need to be merciful with my wife. I need to be honest with my wife. And it helps me to be clear, totally clear, crystal clear with my wife. And it helps me to go back and tell her something that maybe I didn't tell her because I thought that was my past. And the exercise to start to confess her and be merciful to each other, it has made us, our relationship stronger.
This seeking him study helped us to see ourselves as we really were. So a revival started to happen in my house, and I thank God for resources like this and ministries like this.
As Betsy continued to experience a revival in her home, she began to look for ways to support her husband. She wanted him to do all God had called him to do. Now, Betsy enjoyed living in Santo Domingo and didn't want to leave, but an opportunity rose for Moses to take a new step in ministry.
Since we got married, he had the dream to study theology and, you know, graduate. We moved to the other city. I had no help at home with the house or my son. I got pregnant. So I had the perfect opportunity to practice what God was preparing me to do. So I am right now just taking care of my son, taking care of my husband, taking care of my life, my spiritual life, the house. I think that sometimes God need to put us in a place when you just have him and just him.
Earlier, we heard how Betsy felt called to full-time ministry. She now realized that calling was being fulfilled right where she was.
I thought ministry was going out of my house and impacting lives out of my home. But it is so great that now I can understand that in this season of my life, God is calling me into a full-time ministry to impact the life I care the most, you know, my husband and my children. And honestly, in the beginning, I thought I was going to be at my house sitting down with nothing to do. But now I understand it's not only about cleaning or washing dishes or preparing meals or giving a bath to my boy. It's about caring, about loving, about nurturing, about teaching my son, impacting my son with the message of Jesus Christ. And I know that this ministry, it's going to impact a lot of lives in better ways than if I go outside my house.
Do you remember how Proverbs 31 meant so much to Betsy? Her husband sees his wife developing the qualities described in this chapter.
Verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also impresses her. And I would like to say to my wife that you are a blessing for us.
Since that interview, Moses has finished seminary and is serving as a pastor. Betsy still believes in making her home a high priority, and slowly the Lord has led her into some ministry activities outside her home. You may have heard or seen her serving with Revive Our Hearts at a conference or on video. As Betsy found, nothing can satisfy us except Christ, which takes us back, Nancy, to the theme we've been focusing on last week and today.
That's right, Dana. As we've been mentioning all through this series, Jesus is the only one who can quench the thirst of our hearts. That's what the woman at the well learned. And really, it's what every follower of Jesus discovers. He's the only one who can truly satisfy our deepest longings. Some time ago, Revive Our Hearts received this message from a listener named, let me try this, Bafo King. I might not be pronouncing that correctly, but as you might imagine, this woman is not from the United States. She lives in South Africa. Well, this precious woman wrote to thank us and briefly tell us her story. She's 31 years old, not married, and wondering if she ever will be. Can you hear hints at those deep longings? Here's what she said. Listening to your podcast this morning, I was teary at the thought that, with no prospects in sight, the Lord may be calling me to serve him in singleness. What made me most teary, though, is hearing again of missionaries who've lived with a heart on fire to serve Christ at all costs, because He is their all. "I keep thinking I am content in Christ," she said. "But He in His mercy continues to reveal layers of areas in my heart where I am trusting something or someone else more than Him." Okay, I think we can all identify with Bafokeng here, don't you? Listen to what she says next. "I don't want marriage if it means less satisfaction in Christ." It's hard to type those words, but I pray that the Lord would make this true in every area of my life, that it be Christ above all as I fix my eyes on eternity, and through that may He use me. May whatever else He blesses me with be a gift that further glorifies Him. And then she said, "Thank you for your service to women all over the world through your ministry." Wow, that woman gets it. What about you? How would you fill in this blank? "I don't want blank if it means less satisfaction in Christ." Well, we're able to encourage listeners like Bafokeng thanks to the faithful prayers and giving of friends like you. This Wednesday is the last day of our fiscal year. We'll be closing the books on the last 12 months of ministry and looking ahead to the summer months and our new fiscal year. The Lord has put some exciting things on our heart for this next year, and I want you to have a chance to be a part of that. So would you consider making a donation here before the month of May is over? To make a gift, you can head to reviveourhearts.com, or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. I hope your Memorial Day is enjoyable and safe. And let's remember those who have given their lives in defense of our freedom. Tomorrow, we'll continue looking at this rich passage from John chapter 4 and how Jesus is the only real way to satisfy our thirst. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is calling you to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.